guys, welcome back to another episode of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah.
What up, guys? It's Sam.
What's going on, guys? It's Fulton.
And you guys are listening to episode 19. We're going to be diving into full game, game four recap, a little bit of game three, talk about some things in there. Then we'll be diving into game five predictions on the potential closeout for the Blazers. So, yeah, let's dive right into it. Yesterday, Blazers went on to win 111-98 in OKC. It was game four. It was a pivotal game for the Blazers. I mean, if they lose that game, it's 2-2. It's a way different series than it is now with a 3-1 series lead. So let's just get some personal thoughts about the games. What was your personal thought, Sam?
My personal thought was great team play all around. Everybody looked fluid. With the ball passing, handling, everything, just fluid. Everything was going in motion for the Blazers. Aminu came out early, hitting shots, and it just looked like he had a good touch. He was definitely the X factor for us. Dame still killing it, consistent through the playoffs. Through the doubters, through all the hate, just staying consistent and doing his own thing.
Exactly. And before I hand it off to Fulton real fast, I mean, Dame, like you said, he's just been shutting out the haters and he's been letting his game do the talking. And we'll talk about that later in the pod. But what was your initial thoughts, Fulton?
We definitely kept the confidence We've kept the confidence all four games. We really haven't shown our lack of confidence at all in any of these games, even though we gave up game three. I wouldn't put us in the, you know, doghouse for game four, which is a lot of people did. They, you know, a lot of Thunder fans thought they were going to come back and show their will and Russ was going to, you know, put up another 30-point game, but that definitely did not happen. And the way we came out firing the first half and definitely took over the second half was definitely great, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with all the points you're saying. I mean, my initial thoughts on this game was Portland came out with a different type of attitude. They've grown up a lot in the past 3 years. I mean, CJ said it. I mean, they went from getting swept in the first round to KD, his first year ever playing with Golden State. They had a hell of a run. They're still a great team, but a really good team back then. They were playing really well, way better than they were now. And we unfortunately got swept to them. And then the next year, we got surprise swept by the Pelicans, as everyone's known and everyone's talked about it. And, I mean, this team's shown a lot of growth, and I'm really, really impressed with this team. I mean, they come into OKC in Game 4 with their sellout crowd. Everyone's wearing the same shirt. I mean, I want to ask a player sometime how they feel in that environment just walking into it. I mean,
for sure. I mean, when you're playing with the chip on the shoulder that we have right now, like you said, given the past couple of playoff years, like CJ said in the interview the other day, he came out of that series against the Pelicans and he just saw all the talk about him, how we should trade him and how the Blazers just weren't going to do anything with him there. And I mean, looking at it now, it just goes to show that you can't make a judgment off of just one series. And I mean, coming back with a chip on your shoulder like they did and putting in the effort like they did makes a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll dive into some stats here. I mean, Damian Lillard, he's the man of the second half.
I mean, he's the man of the playoffs,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Far.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just...
He's got what? He's got 115 points scored.
Exactly, total.
Games.
100, yeah. And
that's,
he could
tied
easily
for
have more.
First right now with KD. And I mean, no, I don't think anybody would have guessed that he was going to be first. Would you say?
No, I mean, yes, Dame, you want a Dame to come out and prove himself in the playoffs. I mean, he's had so much hate. I mean, he averaged like 19 last year in the playoffs. I mean, that is still good for a player, but not to Dame standards. And he came out, he's averaging 29, 30 a game. And I think that 24 lowered it to 29. But anyways, he really is just on all cylinders this whole entire playoffs. What's your thoughts on Dame?
Yeah, this whole series, he's really been keeping his tempo and really keeping his leadership viable and really keeping his teammates intact. But really looking at his points per game, and like you said, 115 total points for four games in the playoffs is pretty crazy, especially when 40 of them come on the road in the third quarter.
I mean, yeah, he has just been playing absurd. I mean, I mean, you knew Dame could do this, and he's really getting the pedestal to do. I mean, he's playing on national television every night, ABC, ESPN, and he's bringing it. And I'm excited. Game 5 is going to be intense for Dame and Russ again. Russ is going to take it personal. I mean, he got slandered on the TL again. I mean, Twitter is just all over Russ. But we're kind of getting away from stats. So Dame had 24 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, shot 7-19 from the field, 4 of 8 from three-point land. I mean, he had another third quarter where it's just he set a tone. He came out with some urgency. I mean, last time the Blazers were down like 16 in the third at some point in game 3, he came out for a crazy 25 in that quarter. I mean, that was the first time, just going back to that, that was the first time anyone's in the playoffs has scored 25 in a quarter since AI. And that's big praise, because AI's literally carried a G League team to the finals with the 76ers. So Dame's doing some AI things, and if you're doing that, you're doing it right. So I mean, 15 points in the third, he ringed off like three threes in a row. I mean, in a time span of like 2 minutes. I mean, he just was going brazy. And another person who has got talked about a little bit and is one of our second best player right now, could have been third depending on Nurkic, but CJ McCollum. I mean, Jesus. 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. One of them was a pivotal block. I mean, Sam said something about that. He'll get into that later. But a pivotal block on Paul George. And then when he blocked it, ran up the court and hit a dagger 3, made us up 16 with 4 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. It just looked like it just really took the gumption and energy out of the OKC after that. They just looked drained, and they did not look like they were even there.
No, I know, and you're exactly right. It took the energy out the building. I mean, getting down 16 with 4 minutes left in the game. I mean, they did go on to have a little run there, get it within 7, I think, with a minute left, but that was the calling point there. And CJ had a really big 3 when Dame was out at the start of the fourth quarter, because he has to get some type of rest. I mean, you can't play him as much as you would like to play him all the second half. He has to get some rest. And CJ hit some big shots to keep Dame off when not coming in within 2 minutes of the quarter. I mean, Dame got some rest, and I'm bravo to CJ. I mean, what a series so far. He hasn't had a game where he's scored fewer than 20 points. I mean, what can you ask for from him?
I mean, you really can't. Like you said, four games he scored, I think it was 105 points. And out of everybody, he's fifth. And I mean, you have two of the top 5 leading scorers on one team in the playoffs. It's pretty crazy. And so when they're shooting that consistent, it's going to be super, super hard to beat us with that backcourt shooting that well.
All right, so we're getting carried away a little bit. Let's get into Minus stats. One of the, probably the man of the night.
Definitely the X factor that night.
Yeah, X factor of the night. I mean, Aminu, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 7 of 16 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3-point land. If I told you Al-Farouq Aminu was shooting 16 shots in the playoffs, Fulton, what would you say?
I would definitely question Terry's, thoughts on the offensive right then. But it apparently worked out, because most of his shots for 3 were, the driving kicks that happened during the season. And then he was showing his big, tough body down low and manning people down low and getting what he wanted.
For sure. I think Terry is definitely seeing something that we aren't, because the way he's just picking apart their defense and finding new ways to get people open is just insane.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Harkless and Aminu combined for they combined for 39 points that night.
That's giant. Like, with that, if we had that every night, I mean,
dude, that's a championship team.
That's a hard team to beat.
And I'm literally saying that. If Aminu and Harkless could do that every night, what is this team? How do you beat them?
Our two defensive specialists scoring that many points.
Exactly. So we'll get away from stats. I mean, 42% from 3 for the Blazers. Bench only scored 18 points. Seth Curry hasn't had the best series. I mean, he hasn't really put up a lot of shots. He had a good first quarter, game one. And he had the first two games where Seth had some good games. The two playoff games on the road, you expect it. It's his, I think, first playoff series. And I mean, you're going to look for Seth to have an impact in game 5, because OKC is going to come out firing. And we'll talk about something funny here. I had some OKC fans come at me on Twitter and tell me that Dame was soft for only scoring 4 points in the fourth quarter, game 3. And I would just respond to him. I mean, this guy literally scored 25 points in the third quarter. You're going to get gassed.
Exactly. Like, coming off that, you're going to be exhausted. And, I mean, still, if he's only scoring 4 points in the fourth, that's literally 29 points in the half. Like, you can't talk down on that, even if he only had 4 points in the quarter. Like,
exactly. And Dame, he came in the 7-8 min mark fourth quarter. I mean, the refs weren't going the refs weren't coming our way. The OKC shifted momentum. I mean, bravo to OKC for catching the game at home. I mean, that's all I have to say. And I'm going to bring up something here, though. Why is your PG only scoring 1 point in a whole half? And in a crucial game, 0 of 7 from the field in the second half. He had 14 points he had 13 points going to half, talking all that Russ typical stuff. I mean, he hit a three, started doing some dances. Him and Rain Felton were just talking. I'm just like, a rerun of game three of these kids just running their mouth for no reason.
Like, when he hit that three, I think it was in the first quarter, and he started talking and hyping up the crowd. It's like, I just don't understand how you're going to talk crap like that early and against a team that you're already down on and that you have a solid chance of losing to, how Dame is playing against him. Like, you can't talk crap to someone when they're averaging 30 on your head and you're shooting 5 for 20 every game.
Exactly. And Russ really showed who the player he is. All talk, can't back it up. That's as simple as you could put it. What's your thoughts on it, Fulton?
I was just going to say that the whole series, but especially game three, really showed that Dennis Schroeder and Paul George and Russ and even Morris had some, you know, times where he was, you know, a little pissed off at the refs for no reason or pissed off at the Blazers. And I'm just sitting here and thinking they're so cocky for none of them having a ring.
Exactly, not one of them. Exactly. And Dennis Schroeder tapping his wrist in game three is the pettiest thing I've ever seen. This guy Dame, you were the prominent defender on Dame in that third quarter, because Russ shies away when Schroeder's on the court with him.
I mean, last night they switched Russ off of Dame in the fourth quarter and put Schroeder on him every game. And all these OKC fans talking how Russ is a better defender and all that. If he can't guard the number one on the other team, he's not their best defender.
Exactly. And Dame took that matchup personal and guarded him. He's guarded him every single second.
Literally, he's on him as soon as he's on the court. And I mean, yeah, there's going to be switches and whatnot, but when he's coming up ISO, Dame is literally on him every time.
I saw five times in the second half alone where Schroeder was in the game and Dame would be bringing the ball up to court and they'd set their, you know, a trap up at the top and Russ would just shy down in the paint and then go out to guard Aminu. Like, no one's doing that.
Exactly. He's just taking the weaker assignment. Yeah. He's just taking a weaker assignment. So, and we'll just skip over this guy. I mean, Paul George with the quietest 32 points you could probably ever have. I mean, he's just not, like, his impact is way different. It's a different impact of 32. I mean, you just feel it. And we'll get away from that because I don't even need to talk about it. But let's talk about some things to talk about. Dame and CJ letting their game do the talking. And we talked about this earlier. Dame and CJ have really made it prominent. They told the team before the game, we're going to talk to ourselves only, and we're going to show them who we are.
Exactly.
And we did exactly that. And we look like a mature team. We look like a team that wants to win and doesn't care about showboating in the middle of a game. Yes, Paul George pulled something really, really sketchy at the end of game three just to add some flavor into their little win, because they want to act like kind of cocky little bullies almost, I would say. And I tweeted something. I mean, Dame and them are going to remember that. They're going to. And if they shut out this series game five, who's going to get the last laugh? And you guys won one game. If we win game five, go and focus on getting some shooters in the offseason and focus on your team. I mean, the OKC fans have everything coming for them on Twitter. And Dame and CJ, you got to give them props for not talking. You got to give them.
Dame and CJ are making the Thunder look a jello ball in the offseason.
Exactly. Like, I mean they're going to be getting questions that the Blazers were getting last year.
Exactly. Yeah,
and when it comes to playoffs and you're talking that much, and if that's in your game plan, like, cool. But if you're in the playoffs and you're relying on that, that's not comfortable, honestly.
Oh, no, like, no. Exactly. And we'll talk about another thing right here. what to look for in the future. I mean, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves here. I mean, game five is still in play. If OKC, knock on wood, comes back and somehow wins game five, you get nervous a little bit. But what's to look in the future? I think I don't know who wins that Denver Spurs matchup. I mean, it's in Denver tonight, I think. So
very back and forth.
Yeah, it's back and forth. I mean, Denver has not looked good, but they looked good last game and won convincingly in San Antonio. So
yeah,
you don't know.
Either way, yeah, it's just going to – the second round is going to look pretty
bleak compared to the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to get that Golden State-Houston matchup. Everyone's going to be talking about that. And that's going to put some pressure off Dame and CJ, I feel like. I mean, people are really looking at this series right now, so I think there's pressure on Dame and CJ as well. I mean, as much as you don't want to talk about it, there is.
And like you said, with the pressure, they're just staying poised, and they're playing some of the best ball they've been playing all season.
Oh, and best ball of their career. And that's...
Oh, playoff-wise, 100%.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen CJ play with more confidence and more determination to win a series in my life.
Exactly. To add on to that, like, CJ looks... He just hitting so many shots, and he just looks like a mature veteran in the league, honestly. Like, he's just so comfortable working around the screens and working away from the traps. He's just doing everything right.
And yeah, you said it. Well said. I mean, well, we're gonna kind of, it's gonna be a shorter pod, so we're gonna get some questions. Maybe talk about a little bit into them. So, some question here is, what do you think OKC did wrong defensively against Portland? Okay, I'll go into it first. I think defensively, I think they entirely messed up by not over trapping us. And it, I mean, Amina did kill you yesterday, but this team does struggle. I mean, Dame's a different player with the trap now, and I don't know how they struggled. I think Dame and CJ just caught fire at the right time, and the team really caught fire. And I think OKC, they're getting eaten up in the pick and roll, which people expected to be the other way around. People expected Enes Kanter to get, I mean, you got one thing we haven't even mentioned on the pod. You got to give Enes Kanter.
Oh my God. He's got it. He needs so many props for the defense that he's been able to play, especially on a guy bigger than him with the ability to shoot over him. It's
I mean, his block on Westbrook before the end of the half.
Dirty.
I mean, that has to feel good inside for Enes Kanter. I mean, I know Steven Adams got kind of hurt in the fourth quarter, but they kind of took him out the game with their pick and roll. And they were, and that's the moral of the story for OKC. And I mean, Dame and CJ, they had no answer for Dame and CJ. And if the Blazers go on to win in five, it's straight up, they had no answer for Dame and CJ. PG and Russ couldn't match their play.
Ennis has definitely had a big toll in this series, every game, not even shying away from, you know, the Adams matchup and the OKC stardom and Billy Donovan still being there and not having faith in him. You know, I think he's just shoving it back in his face. And especially with our backup bigs, you know, Myers bringing in quality minutes, Zach played a hell of a game last night, and it just relieves Ennis a little bit more knowing that he doesn't have to play 30 minutes a game.
And what a luxury for the Blazers to have a guy like, and we've said this so many times on podcasts, just what a luxury for them to have a guy like Ennis to come off the bench. I mean, you got to be more than thankful. So we'll talk about the last question here. Is Evan Turner hurt, or would that affect Rodney Hood's minutes? I don't think it necessarily would affect Rodney Hood's minutes. I think the playoff rotation, it definitely skimpers down. And I think ET's used here and there. I mean,
if ET were hurt, I would see us putting Jake more in the rotation.
Oh, yeah. And no, I don't think ET's hurt. I think you shorten your rope on the rotation. I mean,
for sure.
You got Seth Curry coming off, Rodney Hood, and Zach and Myers. And that's pretty much what's going down. They're going 9 deep, 10 yeah. deep with ET. He got some splashes in that game 4 and game 3. And you're going to get a splash where I feel like Evan Turner can come in for a spurt, give you a little good run, or he couldn't. And it's just going to go either way. And
yeah, I feel you. And I think Terry Stotts is playing like chess with the minutes. He's just doing what works well best for us, and he's really taking credit to who's on the court for OKC when he's subbing.
Exactly. And one thing before Fulton goes in, one thing, he's really riding the highs, and people who are playing well, he's letting them ride. I mean, he's like with Myers, he let Myers play the whole fourth in game 3. I mean, in game two. Game two. He let Myers play the whole fourth.
Yeah.
And Myers hasn't played any minutes. I mean, so what was your thoughts on ET, Fallon?
The main reason I think ET is, you know, getting his minutes cut drastically this postseason, because I think we're trying to limit the amount of playmakers we have controlling the ball, especially since we have Dame and CJ trying to get them on the court, you know, at least one of them all at all times. But with Curry coming off the bench and Rodney showing that he can get that pick and get his 18-footer midi that he loves, I just think that we're trying to limit the amount of, you know, ball handlers. And especially since ET doesn't have, you know, deep range and or really, you know, a drive to the basket that's, you know, a threat, I think we're just trying to give it to more guys that can, you know, pull it for three and give us that
very well
more versatility.
Yeah, well said, Fallon. I think that just to go on to that before we end this pod, I mean, Evan Turner, it's hard to play him with Dame and CJ at the same time. I feel like that's more of a regular season thing because teams aren't trapping you as much. It's not as intensified. And I think the Blazers really hurt from that last year because he would go on the court with Dame and CJ and they would just trap and they would force ET into his shooter. And I mean, ET's equivalent shooter is like Russ. Yeah. And I feel like
that's not what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sub 30%.
Exactly. So, I mean, you love ET. He's a great leader. He can come in for spurts and give you something that a lot of 10-man can't in this league. I mean, he can give you a lot, the 10-man in this league. No 10-man's league has the potential to give you a triple-double. So, I mean, props to ET. I think he's making the best of his situation, and you got to give his props to him. So we're going to end this pod here. Make sure to follow our Twitter account at 503 Blazer Fans. Follow me. I mean, follow Sam at Sam Beyond That, DAT, and follow Fulton at Justin Fulton 7. And yeah, so just make sure to tune in for the episode. It's going to be dropping tonight. And yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Peace out.